your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you are listening for the first time, welcome home. It's here that you get the unvarnished truth about what it really takes to succeed as an entrepreneur once you make that leap from your cushy corporate job to hanging out your shingle and starting your own coaching, consulting, or services-based business. And today, I am super excited to share one of my secret resources, one of my colleagues in the entrepreneurial community who's an expert at community building. So we're talking about the secrets of building successful communities today with Marusha Murphy. So welcome to Life After Corporate, Marusha.
Deb, thank you so much for having me. I am so thrilled to be here with you. We get to nerd out today on my favorite topic, so I'm here. I'm all yours.
I can't wait to nerd out with you. And we started a little bit late. We had some audio difficulties and I grabbed some lunch. And so I just want to, they're not a sponsor of my show, but I just want to shout out how much I appreciate Daily Harvest. You can get these organic vegetable bowls that are like perfect lunchtime snacks, especially good for entrepreneurs on the run who are kind of catching a meal and 15-minute breaks or a half-hour break in between meetings. So I wanted to shout out to Daily Harvest. And as I was eating my vegetable bowl, I was thinking, now I just need a cup of perky coffee. So Marusha, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your business?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much, Deb. Yeah, so I am, as Deb mentioned, my heart is for community. Everything I do is about community. It's about really creating opportunity for people to connect. So I do that in a variety of different ways. One of them is through a coffee company called Perky Coffee. And I've had the pleasure of growing that company from an idea since 2016. You know, community to me was how the company was actually founded. We actually built that company through basically crowdsourcing ideas on what roast we should start with and what should we name our first roast and can you help me choose the logo? And it really was a part of how community how the community like came together to build a brand. We ended up selling over 1,000 bags of coffee our first month. And last year, or actually in 2019, we were featured at the United Nations for Women Entrepreneurs Day as one of the top 10 women-owned brands to be on the lookout for in 2020. And when that happened, I was like, holy cow, I think like my dream and this vision I had of building a brand around community actually came to life, you know, for me. And now we're being really, you know, touted and shared with some of the world's like leaders. and that was a humbling experience and a really powerful one for me. I also though have a consulting practice where I am teaching and developing helping brands develop their community and their culture. And that starts from within, right? So it starts from the individual within who is the visionary of the company and onward into who else, you know, the company serves. So it has been a pleasure over these, you know, I've had the consultancy now since 2009, and we've custom built over 100 communities through this time, but I've been in the work of communities, like both face-to-face and online since 1998. So it's been quite some time of being in this journey, and I'm thrilled to jump in and get nerdy with you.
Well, I can't wait to start the conversation about communities, what's working now, and a bunch of questions I have for you. But first, how did you start? I mean, what was the beginning of this idea? I know you spent some time in higher ed for a while. So what is your sort of life after corporate story? What was your journey to entrepreneurship? And how did you land on community building as a passion?
Yeah, great question. You know, actually, it, you know, my life after corporate story, you know, the shift came in 2008 when I was about to have my first daughter, who now obviously is 12 years old. And she was, you know, she had a mom at that time before she met me. I was working 100-hour weeks, working at a college, but I was working those 100-hour weeks with pleasure because I loved what I did. And what I did for a living was really invest back into the people of the college I worked with and worked for. I was the director of multicultural affairs for Rollins College in Florida. And we helped shift, myself and a few other colleagues helped really shift the curriculum of the college at that time to something that was pretty innovative, which was inviting our students to not only understand who they are, who they are actually matters, but who they are is actually they were here, and as all of us, we're all here for this exact time in history to make a shift, to make a change. And I was inviting them through their identity, through their leadership skills, through actually engaging with the community to find that with them, within themselves. And so while I was working 100 hours, I knew that while, you know, I loved what I did, I really wanted to be more present with my children and not have to sleep on the couch that was in my office every night. And date nights with my husband were at student events. I mean, that was like our first 4 years of marriage was literally date nights at student events. So, you know, I knew I needed to make a shift. And so I made this intention in 2008 that my next career had to be something where I was, you know, I was able to put my first priority to be my child's, to be my daughter, and then from there, create a career around that. So that was my intention. It was also the era of, hey, ebooks are a thing, like, you know, share your expertise with an ebook and make millions of dollars. And so I kind of bought that idea, like, oh, maybe if I create an ebook, I can make millions of dollars. Well, it doesn't happen that way.
alert.
But what it did is that the idea of saying, hey, maybe I can create a lifestyle-based business kind of really spoke to me. And I made that intention to figure out how do I bring in my background in leadership, community development, and identity work into the online space, into being more like life on my terms. And I started at that time, I ended up, as would have it, when you put those intentions out there into the world, things start to show up. My husband took an opportunity in Houston, Texas, that basically because he was out of work too. We have a whole story about like losing everything in 2008, 2009. So we ended up moving from Florida to Texas, and we moved to Houston first. And he had an opportunity with one of his mentors in marketing to run a company called Telesummit Events. Well, Telesummit Events just so happened to be like the first of its kind, where we were in essence doing virtual events, but it was like through telephone and we didn't see each other. You know, it's basically podcasts, but back then we didn't even, you know, podcasts weren't really a thing either.
So, and there was no Zoom, so there was no video.
Exactly. So we were the first in the market, in the business development and personal development market, to really take a stand for these, bringing the conference home to you. We'd build out the HTML websites and, you know, do all the back end to make these events happen, which are so much more easy, much, much easier to do today. But they needed a voice. They needed somebody to be on the front end speaking to all these best-selling authors, speakers, and trainers. And Deborah, you know, I ended up doing that with over 22 summits, which meant over 600 speakers.
Wow.
In a span of 2.5 years. And that was for me, like, like getting a PhD, you know, because I literally just fell in love with the fact, number one, I was able to use my gifts and my talents, my master's in counseling, and start to like infuse these interviews with depth based on my questioning, like the way I would share questions or ask questions. And that really helped me come alive in my work, you know? So,
yeah. So I just want to highlight to our listeners that once you find a passion, you find a purpose, you find a place that you can apply your skills, and you find a gap in the market, that the amazing part about this journey is you're creating something out of nothing, something that didn't exist before. And that's what's so valuable. And I don't know about you, but I get off on the control of that. Like, I'm in control of my destiny. I'm in control of my time. Like you mentioned, when I left the corporate world, it was about spending more time with my son. I didn't want to be an absent mom. I wanted friends that I didn't work with. And all of that, to have that fuller, richer life, and then to take your skills and make a difference in other people's lives, that's a really beautiful thing. I didn't even know you were part of that early telesummit phase, because it used to be that every other week there was a telesummit that someone was running, right?
Yeah. Well, and it was before every other week that people were running them, that we were creating telesummit events, and they started to see the impact we were making, that they were like, holy cow, maybe we can do this ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, we took that idea that David, who's my husband's mentor, had, and took it and turned it into a $2.5 million company. And wow. That for me was like, whoa, okay, there's something to this. And then it was really at that point then that I started to realize, well, how do I bring this passion that I have for community and really developing the brand, like developing the person behind the brand, but also the brand experience, right? The community is like, if you were to like relabel the word community into another word, it really is how people are experiencing your brand and how often and how long do they want to stay to be a part of it, right? You think about like the companies that have beautiful communities or beautiful tribes, their people never leave. And in fact, it's that we want to, you know, I want to encourage, because once you have a community that feels so good to you, your customer acquisition costs go way down.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the secrets of a successful community. And what's your philosophy about why some online communities, I'm sure we've all been part of Facebook groups that have flopped, LinkedIn kind of moved away from communities, from groups altogether. I mean, they're still there, but they don't do anything and they're not engaging. So what are some of the secrets that make a community engaged and make it so that there's such a vibe that people never want to leave?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think oftentimes it's what people tend to do, and the biggest mistake in building a community is they hit create group before they've thought about what their group is, right? And I'm talking specifically around Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups in that case, right? It's like, okay, yeah, we'll create a community. Okay, we'll buy the platform. Let's say if it's off of Facebook. Oh yeah, we'll do that. And then they open the doors of their community and it's crickets. Like nobody's talking, nobody is engaging, and there's just nothing happening. So what I actually do when someone decides to work with us is we actually go through a process of first going within, because I believe that the best communities are reflections of the leadership of that community. The vision of that community has got to be so spelled out and not just vision, but also values. They have to be so spelled out that when people are coming to that community, it's just exuding that vision. It's exuding those values. And that is where we really have to start. So I always encourage, if someone's interested in building a community, to first take a couple steps back and think about, number one, what is the vision for this thing? Like, community is a big deal. And it is a commitment. Let's be really honest. I don't like to sugarcoat that. It's a commitment, because these are people with heartbeats and names and families. And you're giving them opportunity to be a part of something that you're developing and you're designing, right? And so yeah, it's really important to really take yourself seriously when you're building community. It also is, to me, what I see these days, especially as we're kind of transitioning outside of, you know, I call it like the Facebook group used to be the third wheel. If you were on a date, you're dating your, let's say you and your client, you get all these clients and you always add like a bonus Facebook group on the back. that's not the case anymore. We don't want them to be the third wheel. That community actually is a big part of why people continue to stay and want to stay on as a either a client or as a like a referral or an affiliate partner of yours ongoing.
So I think you made such a great point there, and I hope our listeners are taking notes, because the reflection on what you want the community to be, And I think it's so true. I mean, there must be some statistic out there that says like 90 some odd percent of the Facebook groups that are in existence today are just not very active. Mm-hmm. And there are those that are pay for play and different types of models. But for me, I mean, as you were talking, I was reflecting, like, why did I create the Life After Corporate Facebook group? Mm-hmm. And I created it because I wanted to have a dialogue with my listeners, because the podcast is a one-way platform. How could we have more of a conversation and actually get to know each other? And right. Then Clubhouse came on the scene. And I'm like, wow, this is not asynchronous. This is not me doing a Facebook Live and getting some comments in the feed and trying to respond to those. This is real time, and it is so engaging. So how do you see communities evolving? Is there still life on Facebook? Should we be still thinking about building Facebook communities? And what are some of the disruptors that you're seeing on the horizon?
Yeah, those are all such great questions. Okay, so before we go into that conversation, I like to always preface those conversations with some dictionary work here. Mm-hmm. We need to understand, and this is so important to recognize as you're building community, there's a difference between an audience and a community. Big difference. And oftentimes we're not paying attention to this. So an audience is exactly what you were saying. You know, right now we're having a two-way conversation, but we're having a one-way conversation to an audience. There are people there listening. It's a unilaterally directed conversation to a group of people that don't have the opportunity to share their thoughts or share their opinions or engage in the conversation. A community, though, is a two-way, three-way, five-way, 10-way conversation. That's oftentimes contained in some sort of a container, whether it's a Facebook group or it is, you know, a LinkedIn group or it's on Mighty Networks or whatever platform it is. You kind of think of it as like your home, right? You're bringing your people into your home so you can have like this gorgeous party that you get to host, you know? And so that's how I want us to really invite ourselves into what is possible with community, because truly it's not about necessarily the platform as it is the intention behind the work that you're about to put in. That's,
you know, I'm wondering if you read the book by Priya Parker, Why We Gather. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I haven't read that yet, though.
I've just started it. And one of the things she says is, you know, who you gather around the table. So thinking about a community as your home, mm-hmm. and who you're inviting to the dinner party, so to speak, is as important as how you direct the conversation and the interaction. So exactly. I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought. I know you were going somewhere else, but just wanted to reflect that that was a really great point that you just made.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm definitely, thank you for, I heard her name. This is the third time I've heard her name this week. So that's a sign from the universe that that is a book that I need to be reading today. So thank you for that. I love reading. So when we have an understanding of, you know, audience versus community, then when we can go onto the platform, like let's say Clubhouse, right, which is for those who haven't yet gone on there, it's incredible. Because yes, let's say Deb and I right now, we're having this conversation on Clubhouse. You could then join us into the conversation and have a conversation with us about community and whatever that looks like, right? And so one of the things I really enjoy is utilizing that platform to recognize who is really still on there. It's not yet my community that's on there. It's still an audience, but we can now, in a followership, because we're still, again, the ones who are like pushing the event forward, saying, oh, I'm going to be at this room, come hear me, and that kind of thing. So it's still an audience, but we now have opportunities to use that platform and build deeper relationships faster because of two things: the human voice and the auditory experience of us connecting is so incredibly powerful, more powerful than most of us realize. And secondly, having the interactive experience is incredible, but they still are part of your following or your audience. And now we have an opportunity to utilize our tools like Instagram or Twitter to then direct them into other opportunities with us and continue to deepen that relationship with us. Maybe it's, going from Clubhouse, let's say, to offering a free gift to anybody that's interested by DMing you on Instagram and inviting them, you know, into a free gift and then inviting them into your, let's say, Facebook group. And then from the Facebook group, you have to have like, what is the next step? What is an opportunity for them to continue to develop that relationship with you? What kinds of posts and what kinds of engaging experiences can you put on there to and utilize that group as the way in which you're deepening that community and that relationship with those people, right? So it is still very much relevant, I think, as are building, you know, communities on your own platform. That is very relevant as well. But it's just recognizing, you know, how do we intentionally use these platforms to then deepen relationships overall?
That's a great point, because at least in my mind, I wasn't making the connection. I think Clubhouse made the connection for me to Instagram that, you know, here we're having, I guess, a synchronous conversation on Clubhouse. I just did a Clubhouse room, my second one, on pricing and packaging your services. We had about 7 people in the room. It was great. It was highly interactive. And now, as you mention it, I didn't tell people how to get my free pricing calculator. I was just so happy that we had such an engaging conversation. But I could see it where, you know, I think the podcast and the creating a community around the podcast would be a great idea. So what are your thoughts on some of the best practices? What are you seeing that people are doing that is really creating that high level of engagement where people don't want to leave?
Yeah, good question. So I personally, I mean, I know you, Deb, me, I mean, we're busy women, right? Anybody that's leaving the corporate world is probably side hustling and also working a corporate job, right? We're busy individuals. And so one of the things I like to do as I start to build up community is to create systems so that I actually do the things that work. And so one of the things that really works well is to make sure that your community, your group, let's say it's a Facebook group, is consistently sharing information, right? And so my team and I, when we looked at the kinds of posts that tend to, you know, take off and create more engagement, we created a 10-day content cycle model. And so it goes like this. It's, well, we call it the win-win-wink. And if you can see right now, I'm like winking. Mm-hmm. But it's win-win-wink. And each of those letters stands for a type of post. So W in win stands for wisdom. So these are wisdom posts. These are posts where you get to share your expertise and you get to share about something that they care about, that they would be caring about. So for example, I have a Facebook group that's called Grow and Monetize Your Groups. And so with that, my W posts are all about how to develop XYZ in community. How do you get sales from your clients when you're growing a community, let's say, or how do you continue to create engagement, or how do you, whatever it is that, you know, people ask me about, those are the kinds of posts and videos that I post on my W days. Then I have I. I stands for interconnect. Interconnect are the things that really help you really connect humanly outside of being the expert in your industry to your people, right? So I posts are things like, you know, actually one of the top I posts I've just had recently was when I shared a photo of my husband and I who just went on a date. And we said, you know, I said, hey, this is our first date after COVID. And oh my gosh, it feels so good to be outside, right? And people couldn't get enough of it. And I was like, wow. Huh. That's interesting.
I know people really like to see inside your personal life. I found that too.
And I think here's why. We're tired of the conversations where on one hand, you know, there's so many people that are doing sleight of hand stuff right now online. I've called it since 2009, this is the wild, wild, our like new era of the wild, wild west is being online and trying to see who's legit, who's not legit. So when people get to see like the you behind the business, they feel more connected because they are like, oh, she's just like me. I can relate to her. And so that those types of posts are what I call the interconnect posts. Then you have the nudge posts. Nudge and posts are about inviting them to the conversation, inviting them to share, inviting their expertise to shine. And so that when you do that, now you're giving them space to use their voice and feel seen and heard in the community, which are two of my sacred, two out of my four sacred guidelines to growing community. And then the K, which you find, you know, in win-win-wink, it only comes on the 10th day of the month, but these are our direct sales posts. These are posts that are like, hey, we have a free guide, you know, on the win-win-wink content prompts. Get it here, right? And it's a link to our win-win-wink content prompts, for example. We only do that every 10th day because we want to make sure that we're focused on relationship. And what we've learned is that the more we're focused on the relationship, the more people want to buy when we actually put something out there to offer. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not selling consistently. We're selling through our stories, through our W posts, through our I posts, but we're doing it with gentle love and gentle nudges. And when people reach out, we have a process, and we encourage a process of saying, hey, I'm seeing that you're really connecting. I'd love to get to know you further. Can we set up a time to connect? And then we do that on, you know, through DMs. And that from there, we have usually 20-minute calls. Myself and one of my team members will do 20-minute calls, see if they are interested in like furthering the relationship around the topic, and then offering one of our programs if that feels appropriate, or referring them to somebody that we know in the industry that would be able to serve them well, right? So that's one simple thing. That's one part of our process.
One simple thing that was just complete mic drop moment. Like I hope everyone was taking notes, because that was also a lesson in authentic selling, you know, while creating community and delivering value. It was a great point.
I'm so glad. Yeah. And my vision is to see, you know, thousands of brands actually leaning in full open-hearted and saying, you know what, let's do this. Let's build this. Let's actually change lives. And the work that I do is about changing lives. It's about creating more impact. That's the work of communities in and of itself. There's a variety of like five different, I've been nerding, where I nerd out these days is really developing a system on what kind of a community we should be building based on what our goals and our vision are. And I've come up with five, you know, proven profit paths that I'm really excited about these days. And so each of them, it's like, imagine if you're going into like a planned community and you see these five model homes. Well, that's kind of like how it is. You have your model home, but then, you know, and based on what it is that you're trying to accomplish with your community, you choose one of those model homes. And then from there, we get to decorate and, you know, design it to add the flavor of you, you know, to make it really fit your personality, your style, and move it forward that way. So that's kind of like where I'm nerding out next is in that space. It's like, ooh, look at that. Look at all these gorgeous homes that we've been building and these beautiful humans that live in them.
Oh, that's great. You know, I love your visual imagery and it gets me excited. It's like, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, I know we've had the conversation a couple of times, but I'm like, oh wow, I really want to work with Marusha to create this continuity in the community, this continuity between discovering the conversation on Life After Corporate, maybe joining the Facebook group or following on Instagram, and then joining in the conversation. That's what really turns me on, is having the two-way conversation, meeting people in real life. Webinars do that to a certain extent, because at the end of my webinars, I always open up the live room because I want to meet the people who have been posting in chat. And I think it is all about connection. It's all about being seen and heard and validated. And your audience wants that too. And I'm so glad you called out the smoke and mirrors, the people who are not really building community. They're building their own brand. It's almost like people who post on social media and all they post are pictures of themselves. You know, it's what I call narcissistic marketing. And you don't build community around narcissistic marketing. Is there an example out there, or tell us what you think? Well, I think what you said was what's next in community. What's next is creating frameworks around your goals and objectives. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone out there that you think is doing it really well, or is there anything that you see on the frontier that is a breakthrough around community?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. I'm really paying attention right now to Clubhouse in particular as a platform because of the club. They have, you know, obviously our rooms that we can all create, but then they have like clubhouses, like the actual clubs. So that is going to be interesting to dissect and understand how we can really utilize those well. And is there a possibility for community, as I've mentioned before, to actually show up? Or do we want to still keep them on Facebook groups? Do we want to still keep them on, you know, LinkedIn groups, if you will? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I'm paying attention to also, and thinking, you know, gosh, they're doing something well, and here's what they're doing well. And here's something I think we can all take and bring into our own communities as we're developing. You know, with Clubhouse, the only way you can get on up to this point is through an invite, right? You have to be invited in, or you have to wait for someone to let you in. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when you're building a community, it really, you have to recognize community is, while, you know, I always believe that my communities need to be inclusive of others, you know, a variety of beliefs and a variety of gender and racial experiences and religion. With that being said, the point of community is to have a container, right? And so there's going to be people that are going to be kept out, and there's going to be people that are going to be allowed in. So, and, you know, if we were to talk even longer, I could show you how to do that well and make it really work, and the power of doing that. But with Clubhouse, part of what they're doing is they're really making it so that the people that come onto the platform, in essence, are only invited because the person that's inviting them or letting somebody else in on has similar values to the person that they're letting in, right?
Yeah.
There, it literally is like, you don't want to have somebody that you think is a shyster on the platform because they can use their voice and shyst away, right?
Right.
So obviously that will happen, but as a community grows, and if you're building your own community, how can you create that space of, like, you know, some communities that I get to help design and build are doing things like, if, you know, they started their community on the front end with, let's say, 10 people, but it's their communities that are only able to have new members as the new members are referring business. So it's the members in the community that will now pinpoint other people outside of the community that they think that need to be in here in this community. So that's one potential model that you can take. What's powerful about that, especially for like paid communities, is that there's already this trust. There's an innate trust from both sides. Like, for, let's say I'm the person on the outside being invited in. I'm the person that invites me in. I already respect, and they're saying that I should be here because this is a room for me, right? For the people like me. Then I'm like, whoa. You know, I'm already kind of bought in at that point. I have a little bit more interest in understanding why I should be bought in to this. And the person that's on the side of the sales side of it is like, okay, great. If Stephanie said Marusha needs to be here, well then, and we love Stephanie, well then we definitely love Marusha already, you know?
And there's that is such a great point. It's such a great model.
Mm. It's an interesting point, right? So mm-hmm. I think part of how Clubhouse has worked and where it's come from and the reason it's so successful is partly because of that model. And we can really start to potentially use that in our own communities as well. The other thing that I think is really working well is giving people a voice. People mm-hmm. are yearning for connection right now. We're yearning to be, not just to be on the stage to be on the stage, but just to be seen. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I've even gone live in the messenger room in my Facebook group when new people join. It was just an idea that I had, like, if you're joining me for the first time and we don't know each other, let's get to know each other. So I can go live every week in the messenger room and people can hop in and we can see each other and introduce to each other and have a chat about anything, really.
Yeah.
So what about monetizing your community? You know, a lot of people talk about paid memberships. What have you seen work, and when does it make sense to have a paid community versus a free community?
That's a great question. And it really goes back to the five different profit paths that I mentioned. So it really goes back to intention. I don't know if we have enough time today to kind of dive into all of that. But going back to the conversation around intention, you know, there's some types of groups, like let's say if they're what I call an engaged group is all about coming together around an interest. These are great for hobbyists. These are great for specific, like an illness. Let's say if they're a support group. These are also wonderful for, like, I created the Austin Moms Network, for example. It's a group of moms that live in Austin, Texas. They're trying to figure out how to mom in Texas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so that's an interest in and what I call an engaged community. Those are free. My professional group that I've created, Grow and Monetize Your Groups, that's an engaged community because we're talking about growing and monetizing. The profit path there is to invite individuals to programs. And we do that through some of our, what I call our funnel content. So the content that we bring on the mm-hmm. front end to help lead them into whether or not they're a yes or not, or a no, you know, whether they're a yes or no on whatever the offers are. Some of it's through, like I said, the funnel content, and we connect our content that's in the group to our text marketing process and to our email process to be able to then love on them and help them make a decision as to whether or not they want to be part of what we have to offer. So you can use free groups in that circumstance, but you have to make it intentionally built. You have to intentionally build it in such a way that it goes into that offer on the back end. Then you have what I call excite communities. Excite communities are communities that are short-term. They're oftentimes seen as like a pop-up group, meaning like a pop-up challenge. Let's say it's a 5-day challenge, a 30-day challenge. It's something that pops up. And then once the challenge is over, we archive that group. But the beauty of those groups is while they're typically free or low cost to join on the front end of a challenge, they get a lot of people excited about a thing to create, you know, basically to create a small but mighty win. When we invite them into creating that small but mighty win, they're wanting more after that, right? So we have a high level of conversion from these challenges into paid programs, whether it's coaching programs or services or even upgrading software from these types of challenges and these excite groups. Then you have what I call evangelize groups. Evangelize groups are the groups that are made up of your current clients that absolutely adore you, and your current customers that absolutely adore you. They can't get enough of you. And the goal for these kinds of communities are to invite them to be, in essence, like beta testers for new versions of your product or upcoming products, you know, that you've never released before. And in turn, they maybe get it for a discount or for free, and they are there to promote it like crazy, right? They promote you, they love you because they want others to have the transformation that they've had working with you, and they want those people to know what you're about. So how we build that to lead to sales is obviously we invite them and we train them to then be able to go and speak on our behalf in a way that really invites more people into the sales process with us. And oftentimes I'll build an evangelize group for current clients, like for a brand's current clients, as well as an engaged group, for example, for folks on the front end to acquire them as potential leads and sales. And then the two other groups, I'll just touch on them quickly because I know we're running out of time, is an endorse community. Endorse are made for influencers. So influencers who don't have their own type of a product that want to now, you know, position themselves and their influence for, you know, and make money through that, they can use their community as a way to introduce the community to products that are not theirs. So as you mentioned, for example, Daily Harvest, right? You're an influencer because you have this podcast and you have a following. Daily Harvest could become a sponsor or an advertiser. And as part of your build, your community build, if someone's a pure endorsed community, they're utilizing sponsorships, advertising, referral, and affiliate sales to really develop their profit path with their community. And then finally, educate. Educate is made for those who are creating products and services that may need extra training. And they, you know, these are oftentimes our paid programs that have a community alongside them. Or if you're in the software space, this is like where you are connecting with your customers, your like as a customer support network kind of thing. But you're realizing that this group is super important for them to be able to get it, right? To be successful with the stuff that they're learning from you. And in that case, then we invite them to be a part of that community and be nourished in that community so that they're empowered to be one day an evangelist of your brand, right? So those are really the five different profit paths. And so I hope that answered the question and how you can really use these different types of groups intentionally to build more financial gain in your company.
You're brilliant. You're just absolutely brilliant. I loved every part of our conversation today. And thank you for your generosity in dropping so many gems. I could geek out with you all day long, my friend, and we'll have to schedule some time to do that for sure. But meanwhile, if people who are listening today want to learn more, want to learn about how to work with you or how to engage with you in your communities, how can they find you?
Yeah, great question. Really, there's two wonderful ways I spend a lot of time nerding out myself, and that's my Facebook group. So if they go to facebook.com, well, the group is called Grow and Monetize Your Groups. So you can check that out. Or if they're interested in literally learning, you know, as I mentioned, the win-win wink model, I actually have put together 300 plus content prompts for everybody. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what to write, even though I know like there's categories, I want to, Marcia, tell me what to write. I literally have put over 300 prompts that I've personally used in the past that have helped really, you know, create that know, like, and trust and bring more sales in the door into a gorgeous workbook for you. So that you can find that at createsellimpact.com/ content prompts. So createsellimpact.com/content prompts. And yeah, I'd love to serve you with that.
We will put that link in the show notes. And Marcia, thank you so much.
This was so much fun, Deb. Thank you for having me.
I know, it was such great fun. So this was certainly one of the highlights of my week this week. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And my friends, please join Marcia on her createsellimpact.com/content prompts and grow and monetize your groups on Facebook. And that's it for now, my friend. Till next time.
Take care.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.